There's nothing quite like waking up emotionally devastated, starting your day on the verge of tears, realizing that the great dream you'd had was only that, just a dream. As a kid, I had two recurring dreams that did the trick every time. One of them was being able to fly, inspired by man's eternal quest to break free from the shackles of gravity, and that really cool Gilligan's Island episode with the guy flying around in the jetpack. The other was having the Beatles perform in our backyard. As for flying, my adult-onset, pants-wetting fear of heights has kind of put the kibosh on that, at least without spending our children's inheritance on therapy and pharmaceuticals. And unfortunately, with the passing of John and George, seeing the real Beatles in concert isn't going to happen either. But a few weeks back, my family and I and a few thousand other Beatle fanatics got to experience the next best thing, seeing the tribute band Rain at Elliott Hall. I'll leave it up to psychologists, musicologists, or poets to explain how the music of four working-class men from Liverpool could remain such a big part of who I am, even four decades after they broke up. All I can say is that Rain brought out a lot of people who evidently felt the same way, people who probably woke up crying from their own Beatles dreams. My love for the Beatles goes back just about as far as I can remember. Theirs were the singing voices I grew up with. They defined music for me, and in a way spoiled it, since as far as I was concerned, no other band could come close to them, despite my brief flirtation with the Monkees when I was 9. Their first appearance on Ed Sullivan is a staple of Eddie family lore. All of us gathered around our black and white RCA TV, struggling to hear the music above the screaming of the audience. My oldest brother had foolishly accepted a babysitting job that evening at a house with really bad reception. This, of course, being back in the dark ages, before cable, back in the days of rabbit ears or coat hanger antenna. I can still hear the quiet desperation in his voice when he called home, pleading with us to hold the receiver close to the TV so he could listen. He was the first one of us to buy a Beatles record. Probably set him back 3 times what he made at that babysitting job, but only after asking permission. Recognizing that in some circles, the Beatles were considered subversive, what with their long hair and, evidently, sexually tinged lyrics. Fortunately, my parents didn't travel in those circles. While it wasn't quite like JFK Airport when the Beatles first arrived in 1964, there was still quite a throng descending on Elliott Hall that Sunday afternoon, and an amazing intergenerational amalgam at that. Our exodus from the Northwestern parking garage was slowed by a group of people who, judging from their pace, were, well, really ancient. I kept waiting for them to veer off to some other event, like their 100-year class reunion. Instead, we followed them into the lobby. We took our seats behind a 30-something woman with her 2 little girls, neither of whom could have been a day over 7. At one point during the show, the band asked everyone under 21 to stand, and several hundred came to their feet. As Rain rolled through hit after hit, from She Loves You to Strawberry Fields Forever to Hey Jude, the set's changing from a stark black-and-white mock-up of the Ed Sullivan Show to the psychedelic phantasm of Sgt. Pepper, it was obvious us baby boomers were still enthralled. But so were the younger ones, the children, maybe grandchildren, of Beatles fans. They weren't just a captive audience, dragged along on their parents' sentimental journey, maybe bribed with the promise of a Happy Meal. My 3 boys were no exception, standing, clapping, and singing along to the songs they'd heard so many times at home blaring from my stereo or from their MP3 players or Beatles Rock Band game. Caught up in the music and the sense of community among Beatle lovers, a new dream sprang to mind. One so obvious, so in tune with who I am, I was surprised I hadn't thought of it before. My dream was to write something that made people feel the way I do when I listen to the Beatles, totally absorbed, immersed in crystalline pure joy and energy and awe. It didn't take me long to wake up, though, to figure out that wasn't going to happen. After all, if people like me could do that, the Beatles would have been just another band, long ago forgotten, not one whose imitators could draw thousands to relive their music 4 decades later. On the bright side, though, thanks to Rain, I've come up with yet another dream, retiring from teaching and touring the country with them, playing John Lennon. I wonder if they'd ever consider letting us play a few numbers flying around in jetpacks.